John, one word review of Joker.
Sad.
Welcome back to the pod. Today we have on a great guest, John Walkup, where we discuss Joker. Just Joker.
Are we allowed to talk?
Yeah.
I thought this was the intro.
Oh, okay. We're letting you do your thing.
But John, did you enjoy this episode?
Yeah, I thought it was a great episode, and I had a blast. What can I say?
We're laughing because we haven't done the episode yet. What did you think when my roommate came in the room naked midway through?
That I can't say that I'm surprised. You know, this I'm at Rye's new house.
Yeah. Brendan, well, how come we couldn't go over your place today? You said,
I'd prefer we didn't record at my place.
No, I was just like, no, I actually, because I knew you were living here. I wanted to come and see this new place. You live in a nice area now, in a very cool spot in the hills.
Yeah.
It's very old looking, sort of.
Got a nice view here. Oh, car horn.
Oh. That's, well, you should move out.
Anyways, yeah, thanks for being on the podcast today, John.
Yeah,
it was a great episode.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Please rate and review the podcast. Brendan, what else do you want our listeners to do that can help support us?
Send Rye money. Just mail him bags of money. He needs it.
I also have something to promote on the pod.
All right, cool.
My short film, The House Where I Grew Up, is going to be playing at the Lemley NoHo 7. It was part of the studios. What is it? Studio City Film Festival.
Oh, sweet.
On November 7th or 8th, one of those days.
Oh, nice.
Anyways, follow Ryan Brandon. Thanks.
Did I see that?
I don't know. I think I sent it to you. I sent it to you, and then you looked at the email, then you accidentally deleted it.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw the rough cut of it.
Yes, yeah. He did. And then
you asked me some constructive criticism.
Yeah.
I said, just flush it all down the drain.
He said, delete all the footage.
Delete everything.
So when is that playing again?
Sometime like November 7th, November 8th, one of those days. I'll let you know.
City.
I'll come back on. Yeah, in Studio City.
Okay.
I'll come back on just to let you know the dates.
Cool.
Hey guys, I don't know if you heard that Joker episode, but like I was talking about a short film.
All right. Well, follow John at John Walkup, right?
Yes.
Check out his film, The House Where I Grew Up.
Yes.
The house.
Yes.
The house. The
yes.
House.
The house in which I grew up.
No. The house where I grew up.
In? The house where I grew up.
The
in?
House where I grew up. Yas
at.
King.
Yas King.
Yas King.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're working that into the title. It doesn't fit on IMDb, Yas but King we're working Dad. It out.
I like it. Yeah. All right, well, enjoy this episode. Oh, tons of spoilers on this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Tons.
Watch the movie first. Well, everyone's seen it already. Everyone sees movies opening weekend now. So you've probably seen it, and if you haven't, then just click off.
I'm guessing most people have not seen it yet.
No. Everybody who was going to see the movie saw it already.
Sometimes people do things with their lives, Brandon.
No.
I know that might be hard for you to understand.
No. You know, people, if they want to, if they have nothing better to do, they're going to go see the Joker, and they're going to have a lit time, and it's going to be savage. Dab.
Yas King. Hey, John, can you...
That's your whole review.
That's John, my review of the movie.
John, can you let Ralph in? Open my door.
On Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, yeah.
That's the... When they have little critic reviews, that's mine.
All right, enjoy this episode about the Joker, spoil-filled with John Walkup and Ralph now. Hi, Ralph.
Brandon's crazy.
Right,
he's very inside. I'm so sorry, Dad.
All right, the Joker. One word review, just like we did with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Ken, what do you think? Ken's not here. Ken Beckerdite. He would probably say dark. Okay, thanks, Ken. John, one word review of Joker.
Sad.
Yeah. Brandon? Good. I like
a
it.
A lot? Or is that two words? Is that two?
Oh, geez.
Ryan, did you see the film?
Oh, my God.
She's going to... What the fuck? Ralph just jumped on the desk. And...
All right, Ralph just interrupted us. Producer Ralph just turned off the recorder. One-word review for it is... Sad, I guess.
You can't use his. You can't. Just say, like, something else that's synonymous with sad.
Troubling. But not in, like, I'm going to tweet about how dangerous this is.
Yeah.
Way.
Right.
Yeah. It's been so much controversy.
I didn't think about it. Like, wow, what does this mean?
Yeah.
It's just a movie, and I liked it a lot. I did like how it showed a lot of mental illness and how... The government doesn't really care. There's one line, the social worker's talking to Joaquin, and he says, like, they don't give a shit about people like you. They don't give a shit about people like me. Talking about the system. By the way, what year was this?
1978.
Okay, did it say that in the very beginning?
No, it doesn't clue you in at all, but it's set in 1978.
I thought it was the early 80s.
No?
No? I don't know.
No, it doesn't tell you. But I like looked it up after. I'm pretty sure it's either 1978 or like really early 80s. And it's set in Gotham City, which is a stand-in for New York City in the late 70s. And New York City in the late 70s was dirty.
I think it was early 80s. Just
a lot of trash everywhere.
Let's talk about those rats for a second. Those were some big rats, right? You could see them crawling around the background.
The super rats.
I didn't see them. I didn't see the rats. All I saw was the trash everywhere. So much trash.
When Bruce Wayne is watching his parents or whatever in the alleyway at the end, there's like a rat that just crawls.
This is why it's a huge rat.
A huge rat in the background.
Super rats.
Hey, John.
What up?
Give a synopsis of the entire movie.
Let me look up a synopsis real quick.
The movie is about Arthur Fleck.
I have really bad internet in my bedroom.
Well, I mean, it's pretty simple. It's about Arthur Fleck, and he's a guy... That is very disturbed, he has mental illness, and it's about him basically losing his mind. I mean, that's kind of, there's plot developments that happen later on, but it's about his spiral into insanity.
Yeah.
Forever alone in a crowd, failed comedian Arthur Fleck seeks connections as he walks the streets of Gotham. Arthur wears two masks. I don't want to.
Oh my God!
It was just that was.
Was that from the website?
That
the movie's
was
website?
Flickster.
Oh,
yeah.
Christ.
I don't know why I still have Flickster.
I have what's wrong with Flickster? I still have Flickster.
Yeah, you're right. Flickster's awesome.
We're talking shit about Flickster.
I'm sorry.
No, but yeah, it's basically just about Arthur Fleck and how he might possibly, spoilers, turn into the Joker at the end, but we don't know that. There's no indication that he is going to turn into the Joker at the end. Nothing.
Nope. All right, you need to... All right, yeah, he's the Joker. Are you being serious? There's no...
No, there's no indication that he's going to turn into the Joker. What are you talking about?
Okay. All right, people listening can't see your face, and they don't know your personality because you don't have one.
I've been on this podcast for 2.5 years.
Yeah, and you're a sociopath.
Two years? Has it really been 2 years?
Yeah, it's been 2 years.
Shit.
Probably more than that.
You guys are still going.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's awesome.
Eventually we'll...
turn into the Joker.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look up when the trash strike was, but... Dude, the internet.
There's a lot of trash, basically, in Gotham. And that's actually something that's happening in the movie. It's a trash garbage strike.
And that was a real thing that happened in history.
Yeah. So there's a garbage strike, and everybody in the city is like, the upper class, they don't give a fuck about us. And then the upper class is like, no, we care about you. We do. And but Arthur slowly starts to see that or make up his own mind that they don't, the upper class. And I thought it was so funny how all the controversies, because I'm already talking about controversy first, because that's almost like bigger than the movie at this point. Mm-hmm. The controversy is like people afraid that like in like it glorifies incels or something.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, and it like glorifies like, or tries to make you sympathize with like mass shooters, like people that would do something like really violent like that. All right, Ralph, go ahead and jump. It's a cat in the studio. You know, that was the fear was that it was going to like sympathize and glorify those kind of people. And it's so funny because the movie's about like the upper class and like, it's not because those people that like kill randomly, like mass shooters, they do it because of, they just like pick off random people. And like most of the time it's like race related and stuff too, but they're just like evil monsters that just kill randomly. But like what this movie is going for is it's like, or at least Arthur and the movement that he's starts is they're all going for like the rich, like the people in power, like
yeah.
the government.
It's a class struggle.
Yeah. It's like, and so, and it's also about, you know, mental illness. So it's like, I just didn't see where the controversy was like,
there's no controversy.
It doesn't gel with it. No, but
it's all like bullshit.
It's manufactured controversy because nothing right. happened from the movie. It was before the movie even came out that all this shit started happening. And it's like, but that's so manufactured.
It is. Yeah. And it sort of taints the film in a weird way.
It's like they wanted something bad to happen.
Yeah, I mean, we're going off of what's happened previously with Batman related material and we're we're kind of projecting that onto it.
But what about when Batman v Superman came out? Nobody was like, oh my God, there's going to be there's going to be something bad that happens in the theater. That was Batman related.
Yeah. It's just the media they need something to write about.
But it was just so constant. I don't understand what the,
by the way, did you guys like the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I say that kind of hesitant, but because of how it made me feel, it was heavy, you know. It's not something that I'm like rushing to go back and watch again. I think I need some time to sort of process it because it was tough watching it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I enjoyed it. I thought there would be more action because I guess I did watch trailers, but I didn't know anything about it. I thought there'd be more Joker-ness involved and less character buildup. Mm. I thought there'd be more violence.
Yeah.
And more like, action. But it was more of a character study. Well, like halfway through, I was like, all right, I guess this is just a character study.
Yeah. It's very, very, very... It's like we have to address the taxi driver in the room. It's very taxi driver.
Yeah.
And to the point where there's shots that seem directly ripped, like there's he's like his shirt's off and he's in his apartment and he's writing in his journal, and like the shot is like almost totally Taxi Driver. Like that shot is in Taxi Driver. The only thing that's missing is narration. And so I was like, huh, okay. Well, like I know you can't really like do this story about a guy losing his mind and then like you know becoming the Joker without sort of taking influence from Taxi Driver.
Right.
And I felt like they knew that and they were like, oh, well, if that's the case, then let's just like Taxi Driver the fuck out of this and even include like visual homages and shit. And I think it's like that and like the King of Comedy. I mean, everyone's been saying this, but it's like that and the King of Comedy the first like two acts. And then the third act is when it comes into its own as its own thing.
And the
like,
King of Comedy was starring Robert De Niro, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's about a comedian that's obsessed with getting on this late night talk show to the point where he like, spoilers, he does like criminal things to get on the show, like stalker things to try and get on the show.
Spoiling the Joker?
No, spoiling King of Comedy. He does like, he's the same as, he's like Travis Bickle, but like, for entertainment, like he has like a point to what he's trying to do. Like he has a goal. Travis Bickle doesn't have a goal. I'm talking about King of Comedy now. The guy in lead character in King of Comedy. I forgot his name.
Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro in King of Comedy. His character like has there's a he has an end goal. And that's what, like, in this, it was like, oh, he has an end goal, sort of.
Yeah.
The Joker, like, he wants to get on that show, but he's also losing his mind at the same time. You know?
Yeah, it made me sympathize for the Joker. I was rooting for the Joker the whole time. Like, the whole... Not, I mean, maybe not when he's killing people.
Yeah.
Although, even when he did kill the assholes on the train.
Yeah.
I wasn't like, no, don't, because those guys were being dicks.
Well, yeah, they're like, and yeah. I was like, oh, you're kind of taking it a little far, but I was like, you yeah, know, yeah. like he really took it far, but he, yeah, I mean, he, it didn't make me go like, wow, he's, it made me go, oh, this is the beginning of him losing his mind and becoming violent. I think it was when he went into the bathroom after that and started dancing.
Yeah.
Just seeing a scene I thought went on a little too long.
A little too long.
I was like,
just a little bit.
Yeah. Like, I get it. Like, I get what's happening. Like, yeah. He's in control for the first time in his life, and it's this big, but it's like, I don't know.
There's some great, like, cutting moments, too, where when he's at his locker at his job and he's, like, changing, and the guy gives him the gun, and he's like, hey, you know, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm not sure if it's the next scene, but the way it went into the scene where he's performing for the children at the hospital, yeah. and he, like, he's just dancing, and then the yeah. gun just slips out. It's like, it's such a great moment. Like, I feel like the audience just, like, lit up in, like, laughter.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's so awkward. Like, oh, there's a weapon, and yeah. there's kids everywhere. And it's just, yeah. And then he gets fired right after that. I really responded to, like, some of the editing that was done in the film.
And yeah. I feel like, what's Joaquin's name? Frank?
Arthur.
Arthur.
Yeah.
Fleck. I feel like he had already lost his mind pretty much, but it just got worse. Like, he was never stable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even from the start. What did you think about, one scene I didn't like was when they showed that his quote unquote girlfriend was mostly hallucinated.
Yeah.
I was like, you didn't need to show me that. I figured out.
Oh, you mean
out.
Like the actually showing like,
how he was alone.
Yeah, oh,
like
yeah.
The that little was beating you over the head.
With like, it, yeah.
That, I thought, like, yeah, that wasn't necessary.
No, it wasn't at all.
And it wasn't powerful. Like, I was like, yeah, I the moment she said, like, your name's Arthur, right?
Yeah.
I was already.
Sorry, yeah. Yeah.
I was already suspecting that he hallucinated most of that. Because I was thinking, like, why is she hanging out with this psychopath?
Yeah.
Right.
But then she went into the room where he was in her apartment, and she said, your name's Arthur, right? I was like, all right, okay, it definitely was.
That scene, yeah. that, I don't even know what to really make of that, because it's left open-ended. He just sort of strolls out of her apartment. I don't know if she's dead, if like, what happened there. That was such, yeah. that was, I don't know.
That whole, like, side plot with that girl character, I think that was just one. It didn't really add anything other than, oh, he's really losing his mind. And also the idea, because I think that they set up that that he is hallucinating a lot, like in the beginning with when he's imagining himself on Murray's show, and then with her. And it's trying to set up, I think, the ending, which is like leaving everything ambiguous, is like, because it ends with him after he kills Murray, and then he has this big, there's a riots in the streets, and he's like held up in such high regard with all the rioters and shit. He's in a mental hospital, and it's like, I was like, immediately when I went there, I was like, oh wait, did none of that happen? Did none of the stuff that we just saw, not like all of it, but like the stuff of him killing Murray, all the riots, did that, was all that just in his head? And he just went to the mental hospital like after he killed his mom.
Uh-huh.
It was like, And it doesn't tell you. And so I thought that's what that, with the girlfriend thing, like, oh, that's all it was trying to do, was confuse you more. Because the Joker as a character, that's his whole thing is like, there's a quote from him that's like, I want my, if I'm going to tell you anything about my life, I'd prefer it to be multiple choice. So, like, he wants to keep people confused.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like in The Dark Knight, when he's just constantly, you know, I got these scars, like, and he keeps changing the story of how right. he got the scars. So it's like, it's playing into that aspect of his character. All right, but
cool. Okay.
But I was also like, with the girlfriend, I was like, this is awfully written. Like, he's like, oh, I have a, you're that guy, you were following me, right? Like when he follows the girl, around, and she's like, you're following me. And he's like, yeah, I was. And she's like, you're funny. And I'm like, what?
What are you, dumb?
This is awful writing. And then when she's like on his shoulder and like he bursts into her house and like starts making out there, I was like,
I didn't love that because even with the clown makeup on, you know, you got to check who's knocking for, you know what I mean? Like you see someone with the clown makeup.
Yeah.
And
it was so like, that was when I was like, oh no, fuck. Cause it had me fooled. I did not think she was going to be like not there. I didn't know she was a hallucination, but after it gets revealed, I was like, oh, that makes sense because...
Ow. Okay? Are you all right?
Trying to close my window here.
It makes sense because in his head, she's just like symbolic of like comfort. Like she's just there. Yeah. She's there with him when his mom's in the hospital and she's there at his comedy show, like cheering him on. And she doesn't like say anything ever. And I was just like, oh, before it was revealed, I was like, this is weird and badly written.
One part that I liked a lot was when Arthur was watching comedian Gary Goldman. It's not known that he's Gary Goldman, but he went to the comedy club to take notes on what to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And he was like, at one point he laughed at a setup. No one else laughed. And when the audience was laughing, he wasn't laughing.
Yeah.
Right.
And he was just laughing randomly.
Yeah. He's like, he's confused.
That was disturbing.
Yeah. He's like confused as to like why they find... Like the punchline's funny.
He didn't understand comedy at all.
Yeah. He doesn't understand like
social cues and stuff.
Yeah. And what he's writing down is just like make joke about sex stuff.
Right.
Audience like sex. Like he's
grease hair.
Yeah. Like grease. Like he's just like dress like casually. He's like trying to write down exactly what he needs in order to what he thinks. Like to be a successful comedian.
Yeah.
But he's not, he doesn't actually like, it's funny too. Cause it's not like he actually wants to be like, he's not like writing jokes or anything. Like he just almost like wants attention. That's more what I saw it as.
Exactly. Yeah. That always struck me as like, I always wondered how you would pull that off visually. Cause I mean, even like reading on like the Wikipedia page about, you know, the Joker, just learning some of the history, like he it would always said like, he's a failed stand-up comic. And I'm like, well, but what does that look like? What does that mean? Right. Because stand-up comedy is like, I mean, right. You can tell us about that, but like, you're struggling to write material. And I'm like, what is the what does the Joker have? That's
failed.
Well, relatable to an audience, you know, like where does this play in and how much of it will be used in this movie? I was trying to figure that out.
I wouldn't consider his character a failed stand-up comedian. He did one open mic. So he hasn't even tried.
Yeah. I mean,
he never tried comedy.
What advice would you give the Joker? Keep going.
Keep going.
It gets worse.
I'd say that's normal to bomb your first open mic. Don't worry about it, dude. Just go out and kill some people.
That's
right. If you can't kill the audience.
Could you imagine if he bombed and then went and killed those guys on the subway? That's
over his bombs?
Like, over his bombs. He's like, fuck. The jokes didn't work.
That scene with him bombing is like sad because he's like, because what I love about this is that he has that, his laugh is a condition where he involuntarily laughs under stress, I think is what it is. Like when he's like uncomfortable and he's like nervous, he starts to like laugh. And when it's happening during the bombing, it's like that's the one time where that like felt like really painful. Like physically and emotionally, like to watch, because he's like choking on himself on like on his spit. It's like, and I don't know. That was the only time I was like, damn, I really feel bad for this guy. But then it cuts to the girlfriend who's like smiling. She's like, yeah, you're doing great. And I'm like, she wouldn't do that.
Right.
Like she doesn't know him at all.
And then right after the gig, they're walking down the street together and she's like smiling. I'm like,
yeah.
And he seems fine. I'm like, wait. You're supposed to be traumatized by bombing like that.
Yeah.
And she's supposed to not want to be near you.
And
it was so uncomfortable.
And
but she was fake.
Yeah. So. And then she goes like, she looks at a newspaper clipping that shows like three guys dead, slain on a train by a clown guy. And she's like, I think that guy's a hero. And I'm like, what?
Right. Yeah.
This is so bad. And then it all makes sense. But
yeah.
But yeah.
Did you guys notice during the rally toward the end? The rally against Thomas Wayne.
Yeah.
There was one paper mache head of him in the rally, and it looked just like Trump.
Oh,
I didn't notice that.
I didn't see it, no.
I think that was intentional. It's like, oh, this is, you know, an anti-Trump rally. Go against the rich guy.
No, I didn't notice that at all. Anti-Trump. No.
Symbolic of our times right now. That's what I thought. But I guess my film IQ is way above yours.
I guess so.
It must be. It makes total sense.
I think Arthur needed to take his act on the road. You learn a lot about your act when you're on the road. You take it to Fresno.
Yeah.
You see what's there.
Yeah.
Yep.
That would be a better movie if it's just him in clubs, just slowly progressing as a comic. He never becomes. He actually starts to, like, his pills start to work, and his mental illness is, like, starting to, you know.
He gets good, and he, like, earns Murray.
Yeah.
I did like how it showed the dangers of going off for medication. I guess that was not important, but that's when people really often lose their minds.
Yeah.
Because they cut funding to the social worker. He said he stopped taking his pills. I'm assuming he couldn't afford them. I'm not really sure.
No, that they cut. I mean, they cut funding for the all
so
of
he lost his health
therapy.
Insurance.
It's like, that's why she goes, like, they don't give a fuck about people like you, and they don't give a fuck about people like me. It's because the Thomas Wayne cut funding for like that. And that he's like, how am I going to get my pills? She's like, I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
And so, yeah. But once he stopped taking his pills,
he said he felt much better.
He felt much better as he has
mania.
His fucking face painted white.
Yeah.
I love that scene when he's just like, when he's after he kills his mom and he finds out.
Spoiler.
That, I don't love that scene. But what I'm saying is I love the scene after he kills his mom because there's this whole subplot, which I thought was like, I didn't like when they brought in Bruce Wayne. Like all the stuff they did with little Bruce Wayne was so weird and like felt so unnecessary to like tie it into Batman, which is weird because this movie apparently is not going to be connected to the upcoming Batman movie at all.
Right. Yeah.
It's its own movie. That's what everyone keeps saying. It's like it's standalone. And I'm like, so why are you even bothering bringing in young, just make it a movie about the Joker in Gotham and like leave.
I guess it's cool how they show Batman's parents being killed.
Yeah.
To tie in the first Batman.
But we've seen that so many times. You know what I mean? It's like it's and the way that tied it together was so like it felt so like artificial.
Was it new this time that it was tied to the Joker revolution?
Yeah, that's how they tie it in, is that like the Joker kind of inspired that guy to kill them. Yeah. But I was like, so why is this in the movie? It's not going to come back later.
Maybe and just because it's cool.
We already thought it was cool. Yeah, but I was like, we've already seen this like so many times. We've never seen like they're showing us this great origin story with the Joker and like I haven't seen all this shit before, but we've seen that done so many times. It just felt unnecessary to me.
It was a new twist in that it was the Joker's revolution killing Batman's parents. When before it was just some hoodlums.
No, it was just some random guy.
Stepping out of the
So play. I like that. So I was like, oh, it was the Joker's doing.
I guess.
Indirectly.
I was just like, just make it about like the Joker. I guess they're like, oh, we have to bring in Batman because the Joker's known for Batman.
Did we know anything? I'm sorry. Did we know anything about Bruce Wayne's dad before this? Like in the other movies?
Thomas Wayne? Thomas Wayne?
Thomas Wayne.
Yeah. Isn't that the name of the Punisher? Or is that Thomas Jane?
Couldn't tell you.
Okay. The guy that was in The Mist?
Yeah, I know you're talking about. Yeah.
Is his name Thomas Wayne or Thomas Jane? That's all I kept thinking whenever I saw him on screen. That's the Punisher.
I don't know.
Thomas Jane. We'll just say Thomas Jane.
Thomas Jane. Anyways, Thomas Wayne in the other movies.
You didn't know anything about him, right?
No, they tell you a little bit about him in Batman Begins, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, do you mean just like in movies or do you mean in the comics?
I guess in movies. I never read the comics.
Okay.
Comics, they really talk about it, but I don't think in the movies.
Was he an asshole in the comics? Thomas Wayne? Bruce Wayne's dad?
No. Because it's told, that's what's so funny, because all those books and comics are told from Batman's perspective.
Right, right, right.
And I love that this is like taking a typically you would think a good guy, because he's Batman's dad, and making him a total dick and like making him like Trump, sort of. Almost like he's the representation of that if we're going social, political.
Please hold. Being paranoid. Social, political, yeah. I kind of felt like it was a little bit of a representative of Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it,
but I hate talking about politics, and I hate hearing about politics.
Yeah, me too. That's why I hated. that's why I hated all the controversy that was happening. I was just like, "That's why. Why are you muddling this with outside politics? It's a movie, a fucking movie. Yeah. It is a fucking farce. It's fiction. Who cares? Like yeah. that argument that like movies cause violence or fiction causes violence is so. Oh. It's. I was like, what is this? The 50s? Like, right. why is this shit still happening? They've been doing that for so long that it's just, it's so dated. I don't know. And but they've been doing that in the early 1900s with books. They're like, these books are going to make people crazy and violent because a lot of books were about violence. And they do it with video games, do it with movies, did it with music.
What was your guys' favorite part?
When he, the ending with him on the show. With him in full Joker makeup, and he's on the show, and he blows his fucking head off. That shot is like it got me. Even though it's just a guy getting shot in the head, and we've like seen that a bunch, it looked really real.
Yeah,
like I don't know. Maybe it's just because it was like a wide shot, but I was just like, okay,
yeah.
All the violence in the movie actually like shocked me. Nobody else in the theater was like, oh my god, I can't believe this is happening. But like. When he kills that guy with the fucking, the big guy with the knife, and then he's slamming him against the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no reaction. I'm like, holy shit, this is, like, so graphic for a superhero or comic book movie. And even when he kills the guys on the bus, I didn't know that was going to happen. So I was just like, holy shit. And I, like, audibly went, oh, fuck.
Right.
And everyone was just like, what? Like, of course, this he's the Joker. This is what he does. So that's why, like, even at the end when he shoots... Murray is just like, fuck, they're really getting brutal with these comic book movies now. But
I mean, they're just so much, they're emotionally charged moments.
Yeah.
Leading up to the deaths. Like, that's not something we often get in like our Marvel movies or the, you know, even the DC movies. You don't really get that. I mean,
no.
Is it going back to Batman versus Superman? The only thing they had in common at the end was that they, both their mom's names were Martha. Or whatever. That was the dumbest thing ever. And I was like, that's the level that movie was willing to go. And then you get Joker, where it just seems like it just comes out of left field. And you're like, what? Every choice just felt so heavy.
Yeah.
And like, I do like when he goes to meet Bruce Wayne, young Bruce Wayne. I like the way that was shot. I like the way it looked. I like how Joaquin, or Arthur, or whatever. Shows up and he's just got like he's like doing that weird walk and like staring at the kid. It's very creepy and like intimidating, and you're just going like, are they brothers? Like how are they gonna how does this work out? Like there's that big twist, and it just creeps me out. It felt like something out of like Stephen King's It, where he just goes up to the kid and grabs his lips and like forces him to smile.
It's dirty Gotham city. Exactly. It is that fingers like just gross, like sticking fingers in a
In
someone's mouth.
Yeah, and I often don't know, like, I didn't know how to feel about that. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm like, why? Arthur, just everything he does is just feels uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And the scenes, the way they're written, sort of complement that behavior. And then, of course, you throw Joaquin into that, who's just so, like, physical with every performance. Like, you just going back to The Master when you watch that.
Yeah.
You're just thinking about how hunched over Freddie Quell is on the beach. And getting into fights and banging his head into things.
A lot of running in that movie too. He's running through that field.
There's stuff in that where like, it looks like real people are hitting each other. It doesn't look like a stunt. It looks like he's getting slapped in the face or, and this was interesting just to like watch him smoke. Cause I know he's like, he's a smoker in real life. Mm-hmm. And like he smokes in like all his movies, like, and then to go and I think my girlfriend said he lost like 50 pounds or something like that. 50 pounds.
Yeah.
How do you do that? And then show up and do 3 months worth of work.
I thought you were saying your girlfriend lost.
My girlfriend
50
lost 50 pounds. No, she was telling me the other
from
night.
From smoking or something.
From smoking. Can you believe it? Bree lost 50 pounds from smoking. You heard it here. I was just thinking about that. Like, oh my God, movies take, 3 to 4 months to make. And then I think my buddy who worked on that movie, he, I asked if they were doing any reshoots or anything. He said, no, we're done. Joaquin like specifically lost weight and then he was done like right after that. Like,
yeah,
they couldn't do any reshoots.
Maren, I thought Robert De Niro was fucking great.
Yeah.
Just actually he's giving a shit again. He cares about what he's doing. He's not just in Meet the Fockers 3 or
The Family.
Yeah.
Went to the premiere of that.
What?
Stood next to De Niro. Movie called The Family.
Oh.
Yep, that's my De Niro story.
Okay, any other way you want to say? Did you want to tie yourself in?
I was on the red carpet, and I was trying to get him in a Vine, because that's how I was hired to do that.
Yeah.
And his, like, publicist or agent, whatever, I was just went to him, and I was like, I've been hired to promote the movie, and his agent or whoever was with him, he said, like, okay, leave. Like, he was pissed that everyone was trying to get a piece of De Niro.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I was there to promote the fucking movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, leave.
I'm pretty sure he was very annoyed. Just, okay, now leave. Damn. Like, wow. Like, this is Hollywood.
Yeah.
Baby.
Wow. Bob, can we get you on the pod and clear this up? We want to clear the air.
That doesn't make any sense why you didn't get invited to the Joker premiere, man.
I know.
You should have gone.
I know. It's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
It's all these TikTok people, you know?
Yeah,
they're like, what do you do if you're TikTok and you're there for branding purposes? Do you go, hey, can we make a TikTok real quick and just dance?
Like, yes.
That's all TikTok is to me, is just dancing.
Yep, it's just dancing. Just dancing and pointing at words.
If I see a TikTok on Instagram, I will go to the TikTok, because I'm so upset, I'll go to the TikTok and hold it, and then when it pops up, see less content like this, I will hit that, because I don't want to see that fucking, I don't care that you're dancing.
It's just dancing.
It.
It's dancing to music, not talking and pointing at words.
Vincent Marcus is trying to get us all on board with TikTok.
I'm on TikTok.
I'm on TikTok, too. Do you post?
You guys dance?
No, we don't dance.
Oh, okay.
So it's not all dancing.
What else can you do on there besides dance?
I was just doing what I did on Vine. Just the same shit.
Oh, okay.
And, you know.
1 minute video?
Sometimes. Sometimes it's 1 minute. Sometimes it's 15 seconds. I don't know. Whatever you feel, whatever's in your heart, right?
Oh, okay, but you can do up to a minute.
I say that because I, you know, if you do TikTok, that's fine. I have trouble dancing, that's all.
It seems to be the big thing where just dancing.
Just doing dance moves.
I looked
that's comedy, though. You know?
I looked at TikTok last night to, like, try to, like, find stuff, but all I could search was, like, hashtags.
Yeah.
That's the only way to search things? Like, I look for a popular page. There isn't.
No.
Like, on the Discover page. It's just hashtags.
I went to the TikTok offices, and actually they are trying to, like, they're very trying to work with their creators, and, like, they seem super cool over there, and they give a shit about people. But
nice.
And Vine didn't give a shit at all about anybody, and toward the end at least. But why are we talking about TikTok?
We're talking about TikTok. I steered us off course. I'm so sorry.
That's
okay.
All right.
My favorite part about TikTok was when the Joker TikToked him dancing in the bathroom.
Oh, shit.
My favorite part about Batman was Brandon.
What did you like about Joker? What was your favorite scene?
About the Joker.
My favorite scene of the Joker was when he was on top of the police car and he did the smile with blood in his fingers.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And it, like, looked like the classic Joker more so than before. Mm. That was a cool scene.
Yeah. That was nice.
And that's my favorite part about TikTok, is that he was... I liked all the scenes where he was dancing. I really do. And I just thought, if only someone was TikToking this.
I also... Okay, going back to the Joker for reals. I also love the moment. It's such a small moment, but it's when his, like, message machine is going off and he's, like, clearing out his fridge, and then he takes off all the shelves and then he just crawls in the fridge and shuts it. And you're just like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, they don't really explain why he did that.
There's a lot of moments where you're just kind of like, what do I do with that? Like, it's hard to watch. It's like, you're just wondering, is this guy going to be okay?
Yeah.
And then, you know, going back to what you're saying about hallucinating and as the audience, you're trying to figure out what's real, what's not. And it does, you know, we have a narrator that might not be reliable, right, with the Joker. But like, going on to the Murray show at the end, it's just, when I say that it made me feel sad, it's because, like, that ending talk show moment is just so all over the place. And I don't know if it's done like that on purpose, but it definitely feels like, yeah, this is someone who showed up on a talk show, who is off their meds, who is the first thing he asks, he's like, hey, is this political? And he goes, no, it's not political. But by the end of the conversation, Arthur is kind of just, it's all political. And he's just screaming about, you know, the rich and the poor. And it's like, it feels messy. And it feels like being in the head of someone who is having troubled thoughts, and that's why it made me so sad just to watch it. And, he's going to turn the gun on Murray, and it made it even more heavier. And I think that's what I mean when I say it might be a minute before I go back to it and really watch it and absorb it, because there's just a lot to unpack there.
I thought that scene was sad, and I was maybe root for the Joker when to Robert De Niro, who was like, "You brought me on the show to make fun of me."
Yeah.
You're making fun of me. And I was like, yeah, good for you. He is making fun of you. And that makes me feel shitty. So shoot him. No, just kidding. Don't shoot him. But I did think Robert's character was being a dick. He's exploiting him.
Yeah. Especially considering they show him.
Shit's all gone.
What is M&M's?
Nicotine lozenges, just like Marc Maron.
Oh, really?
I was on season 3, episode 7.
Yeah. I don't know. It's especially sucks because Robert De Niro, at least backstage when he's talking to Joker, he's like talking to him like, he's like, thank you so much for coming down. And he's like really personable. And then when he gets on the show, he just totally makes fun of him like in front of everybody. And it's like, I don't know. To me, I was like, yeah, that's kind of like a showing a sort of fakeness with the entertainment people probably. It's like when they get in front of the camera, they have to act a certain way. Mm-hmm. It's a very basic part of it, but I was
it's like kind of a basic bitch Yas King thing.
Dab.
To do.
Dab.
I am right here. I am sitting next to you.
You guys want to make a TikTok?
You brought me on this show just to make fun of me. Yas King.
We'll make a TikTok where we all dress up like the Joker and start doing his dance.
And then shoot each other.
Why are you so obsessed with me?
But that's one thing that this film does that I love is like, it doesn't make you want to dress up like the Joker, or it doesn't make you want to do his laugh. I felt so bad. Like when he hands that woman the card and he's like, oh, sir, I have a condition. And he's just like laughing. And you're like reading. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah,
like this is the direction the movie's get. That's pretty early on too, when he's on the bus and hands the card. You're like, oh shit.
Yeah, like he's a sad man. He's just a sad guy that no one understands, and so he has to take matters into his own hands and dance and dance the night away.
Was there any type of symbolism with the super rats? Why do they keep on cutting to the news about the rats? Just like shit is getting out of hand in the city.
Yeah. I just thought it was like, maybe there's like a super rat villain that's going to be in the next Joker. They're building it up that he's going to be.
It'll be a tie-in with the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. It's Splinter.
Sick.
Trying to make Splinter. No, I was just like, it's super rats. So that he can make that great, they're going to do to combat these super rats, super cats.
Yes.
Yeah, he makes that joke. And I'm just like, is that why you keep bringing it up, movie? Robert De Niro can make that joke.
That's a good point. Like a Ninja Turtle crossover doesn't sound like a dark Ninja Turtle crossover. You know,
the first
Ninja
Turtles was pretty dark.
So I'm
told. I haven't seen it in years.
By Michael Bay.
Was that him?
Yes.
The first one? First ever in like 1992?
Yeah. No. The one that he made in 2014, I think.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah. Michael Bay did Ninja Turtles like he did Transformers.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And they're really weird looking. They look like
I didn't see that.
Shrek Hyper HD.
Well, I guess that's it.
Yeah.
What was your least favorite part of the movie?
All of it.
Whoa.
I know. I just hated this movie. I just don't like the politics that it's endorsing. Like I just can't go with it.
Dangerous.
I think it's awful and dangerous. And honestly, it just has nothing to say. That was my favorite. That's my favorite quote from critics, is like the ones that hated it. They're like, it just has nothing to say. It's like saying a lot. You probably just don't agree with it, what it's saying.
Yeah. Critics like didn't really like this film.
Yeah.
I was looking at some of the reviews today, and let me pull one of these up.
It's one from CNN, a tweet had like three words I didn't even know the meaning of. White villain, something white, something about white men.
White vaudevillian man.
I was like, are you trying to sound smart?
Yeah. CNN, they literally posted a article that was like, three men caught smoking in the Joker movie. It's like, what? Why is this news?
That used to be okay.
Yeah. The Joker's encouraging smoking. I don't know.
So it's sitting at a 68%.
From the critics?
Yeah, from the critics. Joker isn't a work of genius. It's not a radical, bold, nor right-wing propaganda. It's just a movie and a bad one.
Jesus.
Let me give you some perspective on this. Sitting at 68%, The Abominable Snowman animated movies at an 81%.
Wow. Obviously, Abominable Snowman.
So we'll go see that.
Yeah, that one's better, obviously.
It's about the same thing.
It'll probably get nominated for an Academy Award, Abominable.
Just want to make a note that Ralph will not pick a spot and just sit there. She's been climbing all over the place, and it's making me want to shoot Brandon in the head. Oh, you edit that out, you little bitch.
Guys, come on. This is my episode. Please, I promoted my short film on here. What didn't you like about the film, Brandon? What's one thing you didn't like? Or you look at it and you go, oh, I would have done it like this.
Part of me didn't like how it was just so very clearly like an homage to like King of Comedy and like Taxi Driver. But at the same time, like that's what it is. Like it is what it is. Like the plot, it kind of almost has to follow those movies plot lines in order to build up to that ending. Cause the ending is very good. I don't know. I think maybe just certain times it felt like it dragged with all the Batman stuff of like him in that story, that plot line with, when he's finding out about Thomas Wayne and how he might be his dad and how he's not ultimately. And I understand why it's there. It's to help him like sink him further down the hole. And also for him to like realize his whole life is a lie and it makes him go insane, stop taking his meds and all that shit. But, I don't know. Every time it just like showed like little Batman, I was like, this is stupid. It was so like to me, it was just so stupid. And the fact that they showed it at the end again, I'm like, why? Just show the riots. Like, this is, I don't know. Just follow this guy. Who gives a shit about that little kid and his parents? I don't care. I don't know. And they, like, showed, like, young Alfred. He's get out of here. You have to get out of here. Don't put your hands on this child. Or whatever the fuck he said.
I was hoping it would just be Michael Caine again. Like, just no, like, no makeup, no nothing. Yeah. No, just age doesn't Michael matter. Caine. Like, it's just Michael Caine shows up.
Yeah. That was my least favorite part of the movie is that stuff. I felt like it bogged it down. What about you?
I didn't see the film. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I'm still kind of processing. I'd always take a while to process this shit, but like, I guess like Rye was saying, just some of the stuff with Zazie Beetz, her character, I just wasn't really that into it. You know, I still think like showing up at someone's door with clown makeup is like the worst thing you could possibly do.
But that was hallucinating.
Yeah, that was all hallucinating in his head.
Right. It all had an answer to it. But I don't know. I wasn't in love with that stuff.
Yeah.
The only thing I really didn't like was just really didn't like the reveal that she was fake because I had already figured it out. And it seemed like it was trying to be like a powerful moment. Like, whoa, in all these scenes, she wasn't actually there.
You but knew that she was fake. You knew that she was in his head.
The moment that he goes into her apartment without her knowing and she says, your name's Arthur, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That's when I was like, all right, she's fake.
Yeah.
And then like a few minutes later, it was like scenes or like very soon. Like,
shows it.
And I was like, this powerful woman isn't working on me because I already figured it out because I'm smarter than everybody.
Damn. It must be hard for you to live in this world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Overall, if I were to rate this out of 100 dogs,
100
that's,
dogs.
That's my rating system is dogs.
100 dogs.
Yeah, so if I were to rate it out of 100 dogs, I'd give it 80 dogs out of 100. Okay. Give it a solid B, solid 80.
Woof, yeah. I mean, hell yeah. That's I see it, man. 80, woof, like, it's woof. In the 80, like, yeah, 80 to 85 dogs. Mm-hmm. You know, I like that. Solid.
What would you rate it?
What would you rate it, and what's your rating system
80,
called?
80 to 85 dogs is the new name of this podcast, actually.
You actually have to have your own rating currency.
I guess 85 Ralphs.
Mm. Aw, that's nice.
That means it was a bad movie. Because Ralph sucks. I'm just kidding, Ralph. I like you a lot. I just do it because it's my father talking. Anyways.
Ralph, what'd you think of the movie? Like, she'd I say. Thought it was good, and like, it just seemed like big fun.
I'm more excited for Nine Lives 2.
I'm drinking water right now. I give it, I say 85 dunes out of 100.
Oh.
Ooh. Well, that's not your rating system. Before it was 0 out of 5 dunes.
Well, yours was 0 out of 10. We're going out of 100 in this episode because...
85.
No, that's my rating system.
Because you're schizophrenic.
No, like that's my rating system. It was 0 out of 100.
It was 0 out of 10. Was up, it? Up until right now.
Oh, well whatever. I'm not going to remember this anyways. I'm just like Arthur. This is a hallucination in my head.
85 out of 100 dunes. I want to see it again, though. The whole time I had a cold, and I was also... I've had a cold and diarrhea. I think they're unrelated. So the whole time in the movie, I was thinking, am I currently shitting myself? Because I was holding in shit.
Oh, damn.
And I was smelling my section to being like, wait, does this smell like shit? Am I shitting myself?
That's a terrible way to watch a movie. You're just shitting? Okay, so Arthur, he's depressed. Oh, okay.
I got some seepage.
That's just shit? Yeah, so I got to see it again.
I don't think you honestly watched the movie then. You didn't watch it thoroughly because you thought there was shit seeping out of your asshole.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
That's a good scene. Did I shit?
Did I make a poopy in my pants?
All right, that's this episode. Thank you, John, for being on it.
Thanks for having me. I'll be back next week on the pod as well.
To let us know when that film is.
Why?
Abominable, right?
Oh, yeah. We're going to review Abominable, which is probably going to be like 100 out of 100.
Dogs,
obviously.
Ralph.
Whoa, dude. Dunes. If she landed on your laptop, that would have been the end of everything.
Whoa.
Yeah, dude.
No, John will not. We're not going to be rating Abominable.
Why not?
John will not be back on this podcast ever again.
I've never heard of it. What is it?
It's just a movie about the Abominable Snowman.
And it's animated? Yeah. I don't want to see it.
You should. Apparently, it's way better than. What? It's almost as good. It almost has as high of a rating as Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So you know that
what is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood at?
85%.
85 dunes.
85.
That's a lot of dunes. It's too many for me.
All right, well, I'm sorry, Dad.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Sorry, Dad.